Blog Talk Radio.
welcome to this Memorial Day celebration. We had a little bit of audio difficulties for the last 5 minutes or so, but I would like to welcome a very special man in Mystic Records, the founder of the company and survivor of World War II. Hello, Doug Moody.
Hello, love. Good morning to you. Or is it afternoon yet? I'm not sure.
Well, you know, I don't know. These Japanese-made phone plugs pulled out, and I...
It's funny you should say that, because the moment I arrived in America, I looked at everybody with the cars and the motorcycles, and I said, did Germany and did Japan win the war? Everybody's got a Japanese car, or
right,
a German Volkswagen, or they've got a Japanese motorbike. I don't understand. Who won the war?
I guess in economic terms, they did, because everything they make is crap, you know? Anyway, how are you today?
I'm happy. I'm happy because you woke me up a couple of hours ago and said, you're going to get on radio. And I said, yes, ma'am, I take orders now. And that's the boss. By the way, I'm talking to my boss right now. She runs Mystic Records with an iron fist. And anybody who doesn't belong on Mystic Records, she's banishing them off the label. I'm really scared of you.
You mean you don't want me to sit on top of my mountain and blast everything around me?
Well, I love what you do, and I've turned Mystic over completely in trust to you, and you are doing wonderfully well. You have bought new. It's a we. All right. We are doing wonderfully well, and more the groups are taking over their local territory, like the Rotters have taken over both Nardcore in Oxnard, because the local people damaged it so badly, and they've taken it over and made it wholesome. And then they've also moved into Portland, Oregon, which Portland is now known as Punkland. So we have a whole new world building called Mystic Land, and you have 100-odd acres up there.
Ooh.
Starting with a lake where you go swimming with turtles. I love it.
Oh, I got some great shots of the turtles this morning. And, yeah, I did go swimming with the turtles this morning. It was so hot. And I got beautiful shots. Wait till you see this. I'm gonna put it together with that song, Too Many Faces Always Looking at Me.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm grateful to be here, and I love having started Mystic Records, turning it over to you. You're a marvel, and new Mystic is launching currently 300 bands across the world, 300 bands, and we welcome from Japan the Spam 69, who was brought to us by Festa and his friends.
Yes. Yeah, and you know, they were supposed to be here next month, and Northern California has opened up. Like Shasta's open, Whiskeytown Lake, all the national
maybe
forests
they
are open
will
up
be,
here.
Maybe they'll get there this year, but if not, we welcome them aboard. We welcome Spam 69
much. There's still a ban on travel from Europe, anyone who's not a citizen. So, you know, we still have that, you know, going. So, you know.
And then we got a couple of bands in England that have played Blackpool, which is the biggest thing to play Blackpool as a holiday zone. And then we've got from Sweden.
Yes, we do.
So I love what you're doing with Mystic. I love what's happening with Mystic. And I just want to tell you, in my waning years, I'm 92 years old. I just love being around the new bands and the punk bands and people yelling their heads off. Straighten up the world. Come on, let's straighten up the world. It's our world. Let's learn to live with each other and
yes. Unite.
Enjoy life. Enjoy life. Okay?
Yes, and unite. United we stand. You know, and
yes.
As a world, we stood united on this day in D-Day, you know, when the American allies hit the beaches of Normandy and,
yes.
And you know, England was up there in the air. And by the way, Mr. Moody was an air tower controller back in World War II. And, you know, we have our allies to thank. And, you know, even today we have first responders and people, our heroes, our firefighters and medics, you know, and all of, we're all heroes, everybody, you know, and today's a day to remember all these heroes. We couldn't have done it without England. England and America kicked ass on the Nazis and they fucking went home with their tails between their legs.
I love her. Oh, she's a fighter. Yeah, you see on England, Boadicea on every coin. Boadicea was the queen who went up against the Romans. She lost, but her spirit still provides England with a lady on a chariot. And there you have Candice D'Andrea, lady on the chariot at the wheel. And there she is, leading the charge of Mystic and its punk world. We are going to learn to live with each other. We're going to learn to love each other. And we're going to learn punk music is here to stay.
That's right. That's right.
Treasure the punk.
Thank you to England. Thank you because our soldiers couldn't have done it without the English in the water, in the air. I mean, it was a massive brigade. I mean, they got slaughtered. And you know what? They deserved it for going after the world and trying to take away from everyone for their own personal gain.
I'll join you in, and I'll give you a bird's eye view of growing up amongst the war. You know, I was like 12, 13 years old when the war started, 1939. For America, it was 1941 when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
But for England, it was 1939. And there was I 12 or 13 years old and trained to be a gentlemen in the British Empire. I had been trained at school to have three changes in clothing. I spoke German a little. I spoke French a lot. I spoke Latin, and I didn't understand why we learned Latin, but there we are. And we had
language.
To read the Odyssey, all about Odysseus and some Greek who traveled the world.
Oh, the Iliad. Yeah, the Iliad and the Odyssey.
We had to learn Greek every morning. So when I'm 13 years old, all of a sudden, my German friends say to me, "We're sorry, we're going to come back and kill you, but we like you, Doug, and we you know, you're our friend, but we're now going to war, and we're going to kill you." So I said, I'm not going to allow that either, you know? So,
right.
First of all,
that's
the
terrible.
First thing was everybody was called up that was in what we call the volunteer army. My uncle Ernie, he was a local barber in Edmonton, which is in North London, and famous for the Hotspurs football team. The Hotspurs, known as the Spurs, was a real major player in English soccer. So, now, they call him up, and they put him in uniform, but they have no place to put him, so they put them in the local parks. So, all of the parks have all these tents with all these soldiers. And for food, they give them packets. You have them rip them open and eat the contents of the package. So the guys all complained. They couldn't live on this kind of rationing, and there was no cooking facility and no food. So all the women started making soups and food.
Right.
And my auntie, Auntie Lou, who was her husband, she goes across the fields, and I went with her one time, and we fed jam sandwiches, piles of jam sandwiches, to these troops living in the tents. And they were in uniform. They had a rifle, no bullets, got a rifle, and had anti-aircraft guns. The guns had been delivered, but the wrong side shells. They said, "Well, we can't fire at anything because they've sent the shells are too big for the guns. We got bigger shells than we need, and we don't have the right shells." So there we are. We started off war with all of our men in uniform, living in parks, having food being sent over by the wives, and the wrong size shells. And isn't it a marvel that we came out on top with the chaos that was going on? That's how the war started for me, with going to see my Uncle Ernie, who incidentally went over with the 8th Army and beat the shit out of the Nazis in North Africa. And he was with the 8th Army, and he had his picture in the newspaper. 200 Italians surrendered to him, and he marched back to camp with a general and 200
wow.
Italians who were hungry and starving because
yep.
the Germans stole all the food and didn't feed the Italian army, so they quit fighting. And he has his picture in the local newspaper, and we all said, "Here, we got a hero in the family. There's Uncle Ernie coming home with 200 Italians." Yeah,
nice.
Is that a wartime story for you?
Right. Well, you know, it took a lot to defeat them. And, you know, the Italians were stuck in the middle between Mussolini and Hitler. And the everyday person didn't have a chance, you know. My husband's family that came from Rome just after World War One. You know, they had it pretty rough, you know, and they didn't believe in all of that, you know, goose-stepping crap. And they came here to America and loved being here, you know.
Well, we're very fortunate that we grew up amongst democratic principles. And although there's no British Empire anymore, I was taught to have 3 changes of clothing while I'm at school. I was taught to be a gentleman. And the funniest thing was, after the war, British women sneered at us. I opened the door for a young lady one day, and she said to me, "There's no point in you pretending to be a gentleman and opening doors for me. We can open doors for ourselves." And she practically almost spit on me. So I thought, well, there's no place for English gentlemen anymore. Here we are. We got no empire. We're trained to go work in the empire. We got no empire. We won the war. And look what we come home to, women that don't want us to open doors for them. So, they prefer to be bus drivers and running businesses. They didn't want to give up their jobs. So I decided, look, I'd just done the Berlin airlift and saw where all the food came from, and I said, I'm going to America. I'm never going to be hungry again, and I never was. I arrived in America, and the first thing I ate was a hot dog for 25 cents, and I ate it on the street. We didn't even have food on the streets in England, and here we had, I was eating a hot dog for 25 cents in New York, and eating it on the sidewalk, and I was in a new world. And, you know, they recognized that I was a musician, and they allowed me to work with black people. And the first thing I got was a million-selling song called No Matter How You Pray by Mahalia Jackson, my first big record, and I sold a million. Well, you don't want to sell a million records, because in order to have a million selling records, you have to press a million selling records, and you have to pay for a million selling records. So for the first two or three years, I was broke and bent, and here I had a million selling record, and everybody slapping me on the back saying, wow, look what you come over here and you show us how to record rhythm and blues. And Dick Clark then comes along and tells me he wants to be my partner, and I'm saying, oh, well, that's okay. And 6 months later, here I am with a $1 million selling record, but I got to pay for the pressing. So you don't want to quickly end up with having a million selling record, because you have to pay for the pressing, and it'll take you 2 years to get out of debt. So my welcome to America was a very strange one and a learning process.
Yeah, that's true. You know, but you know, I remember you telling me about the toys that the Germans dropped from the air, and English children would pick them up, and it would blow off an arm. You know, and it's just horrible what they did, all in the love of oil. Oil. World War II was all about oil.
We won the battle of El Alamein because we starved the Germans and didn't let them get machines in, and didn't let them get food in. We stretched their line all the way from France to El Alamein, and then strangled them. Once we had their line covered with the British Navy, and once we controlled the food supply, the ammunition supply, then Rommel couldn't be the unbeatable German troops. German troops lived on a rye bread that had gone moldy, and it gave them a power to stay on their feet and fight for 3 days without sleep or food.
So they were
on a high course of God knows what. The British were serving rum and beer to their troops to keep them happy, and so everybody was drunk or on drugs during the war. When men were fighting, they didn't really want to kill each other and hand-to-hand fighting, but they went at it, and the British and the Germans went hand-to-hand fighting, and we beat the hell out of them at El Alamein, and we owned the oil, and that was the turning point of the war. That was when Russia stepped in, and it started taking the oil away from the Russians took the oil away from the Germans in their land, and once you started squeezing the Germans and they didn't have oil or gasoline, then no matter how powerful your tanks are, no matter how powerful your troops are on drugs, if you don't have gasoline, you go nowhere.
Very true. And that's why this next generation is learning that we have to find alternative sources besides oil and gasoline engines.
Yeah.
You know,
come on, play some music. Play something.
Well, you know, we have a really cute song here right from Rome, Italy, titled Sweet Cherry Lollipop Eyes. I love those lollipop eyes. lollipop, lollipop. Cover, and we're working on a video to launch the single by the band is titled Middle Disaster.
And,
yes.
What about something you played me the other day, a new band that you played me with a new song, and I sang along with it? Do you remember who that was? And you're going to put it out on Horseshoe?
Oh, that's the same girl here. She's working on Keeper of the Stars. Dickie Lee wrote a pop version of it. And she sent me a clip of her singing it, and this girl's just got vocals for days.
Okay, well, you're taking me back a few years now. This is after the war, and when I came to America, one of the artists I was on the road with all the time was Dickie Lee. Dickie wrote 7 songs that became million sellers for other people. Of course, Dickie had quite a few million-selling records himself with me. One of them was called Patches. She was found floating day face down in the river. And all the Coast Guard and everybody wrote lots of letters. Women don't come face down. They face up because of the air in their lungs and their boobs. They float facing upwards. So they said, this song is wrong. The girl could not be found floating face down in the river. So we heard from all the Coast Guards and everybody on that record, but it was a million seller. And Dickie,
he laughs
is now
at his
recording
tragedy songs.
What?
He laughs that he's written such tragedy songs.
He
says, I had such a good life, you know, and I hear I write these songs about, you know, love and tragedy.
Yeah, well, I remember being up all one night with him writing a song about a girl who died, and he found his jacket on her gravestone. Do you remember that?
Lori, strange things happen, and that's one of his best-selling songs, and I believe you co-wrote that.
Yes, I did. I stayed up all night. I was living in the Sheraton Hotel next door to that famous comedian. They had his own show. I can't even think of his name, but I lived next door to him in Sheraton Hotel in New York. I used to have dinner with him every Wednesday night at this Irish restaurant, and he had his own TV show. I can't remember his name.
Oh, yeah, The Honeymooners.
Yeah. What's his name?
Jackie Gleason.
That's it. I was staying next to Jackie Gleason, and I probably kept him up all night because he complained the next day, you were writing a song all night. And that was the song I was writing with Dickie Lee. And pounding on the piano and yelling and carrying on, and we wrote the song together. Anyway, so it became a big seller, and what I'm saying is that there are people out there that are keeping the music business alive. People like Nana Mouskouri. She's a Greek lady who sits on a stool, plays guitar, and records, and she sells over 1 million records every year. Now, the Beatles have sold 10 million LPs. She has sold over 100 million LPs. Huh?
And how many LPs do you think Doug Moody sold? Play a song by Potbelly because they're one of the groups that are helping to keep punk rock alive.
Well, I'm joining the club anytime you want me.
Well, you know, we just added them to our compilation, Vigorous Blast. There's two volumes of it, and it's just fantastic. It's really done well, and it's been well received by the market, and the artwork was done by our boys in Las Vegas, and it's just awesome. They got helicopters
well,
up in the air.
I love the guys in Las Vegas, and I love the new name we gave Las Vegas. We call it
Lucky City. That's
Lucky
right.
City, and the flag for Las Vegas is a roulette wheel with a skull in the center. So
that's
I
right.
think I love the new sound of coming out of Lucky City because you know it's been for a long time just a place for people to go get laid and get lucky and get drunk and get and lose their shirt. So I mean, you know, it's nice to know that it's also a
why do you go home?
Punk music. Anyway, I'm working on a new project which I started 30 odd years ago called Slamulation. After I'd done copulation covers and all those, I invented the compilation in the 19.
Right, and that's what we're going to do with those tracks from Vigorous Blast. We're going to make that into Slamulation and put it out on vinyl. I made two volumes because each side is enough for an LP.
Right. So we're coming back with Slamulation, and that's punk dancing, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you got any more music up your sleeve today?
Well,
do you want me to sing? I want to be happy,
but
I can't be happy.
I can't be happy unless I make you happy too. How about El Duce and the Mentors? Huh? El Duce!
Go ahead.
Okay. In the mood for Eldon today. How about Little Jane's Addiction? Where's Cosgrove barking? Come on, bark. I love that dog of yours, Cosgrove. And, and you know, you've got another little Cosy, a little wire-haired fox terrier who took a little dive
the other Russell. Day. He's a Jack Russell dog.
Yes, he is a Jack Russell. Jack Russell Terrier.
And he's 15 years old.
Yeah, and he's got one nut floating. Poor little guy. Maybe that little tumble he took off the golf cart the other day might put him back together, huh?
Well, he's my companion. He comes in the morning about 5 o'clock and goes, woo! So I say, okay. I get up and open the door so that he can go out and kiss the bushes. And then he sits out there on the steps at the back of the house. And he's sniffing the air. I wish I could identify what he smells. All of a sudden, he's grinning ear to ear. He smells something that he's really enjoying. I said, oh, to hell with this. I go back to bed.
Yeah.
And I leave the door open. Around 5 or 6 o'clock, he wants the door open. He likes to go out and smell the air.
That's right. He's nobody's fool, which, you know... I have a song here from another one of our new groups that are keeping things going, and this is Andy Turner's new band called Bleed.
From England.
Yes.
From England.
Yes. He is from the UK, and here it is. Follow.
Go! The storm through it, we're gonna get the fall.
we're winding down to the end of the show here and celebrating this Memorial Day, May 25th, 2020. We're saluting all the heroes that have gave us freedom and saved democracy. And the world is a much better place because of veterans like Doug Moody, who was in the air tower in England, and on the ground control when he was younger, before he joined the Air Force. He was on the ground as a kid putting back together the communication lines and doing ground control just because it was the right thing to do. And they gave him a bike with tires, and, boy, he could get all around on a bicycle, right?
Well, I was a sort of unofficial messenger boy, and they gave us an extra tires and inner tubes, which came from India, and they had to really brave the oceans and the German submarines bringing in anything. Well, being a volunteer messenger boy, it put me right in the middle of the bombs coming down, because the only way we could communicate with each other from one side of town to the other was telephone lines. We didn't have radio or cell phones, so the telephones had to be working. So there would I be with my bicycle, lugging it over bomb sites, finding out where the telegraph pole had fallen, and getting to the nearest telephone and saying, the line needs repairing on this street and that street, and keeping the telephones going. So during the war, it was not easy to negotiate streets with bombs falling. And you mentioned about things that the Germans were doing. One of the worst things was the firebombs. They would be a long stick about 18 inches long and about 3 inches across, and they would come down and they would splutter for maybe 4 minutes, and you had to get those with tongs and drop them in buckets of water. Every house had two or three buckets of water standing by to grab these firebombs. Once they spluttered, they burst, you could not go near them because they showered you with this phosphorus that stuck to your skin and burned you through to the bones. So the phosphorus bomb was the most dangerous thing we had to fight, and that was, you had a big pair of tongs, and you took the thing and dropped it in these buckets of water while it was spluttering. You had 3 or 4 minutes of spluttering, and you hoped you get it done quick enough, because if it burst, then you would be covered with this sulfur, and it would eat right through to your bones. So it was not easy being a messenger boy. It was deadly, and it put us in mind that we were actually on the front line there, with fighting the Germans. And then they also did, and though they deny it to this day, they also dropped brightly colored toys, and the children, if they picked them up, would lose a foot or a hand, or even got killed. And the Germans were ruthless in trying to destroy the feeling of togetherness, and they wanted to destroy us by bombing and having terror. And they did not know how powerful English people or American people or democratic people who have the right to vote and don't give up, keep the right to vote.
Right.
And they didn't realize how strong British people were. And we survived that terrible bombing every night. And you couldn't always help a dog that had a leg blown off. You couldn't help a woman crying that she had a baby that got killed. You couldn't stop to help. You could report and say there's people needing help and this and that. You had to keep going, and it taught us how to keep going under the worst circumstances. And I don't ever want to go back and dream those dreams anymore. But we
thank you as a survivor and a fighter who was there, because you know, your stories are valuable to the future generations to realize that, you know, there are oppressors who will try to take away from you everything you have. Your life, your liberty.
Even to this day, even to this day, I do not listen to people who preach and carry religion, because I don't say there is no God, but I'm saying unless you have the strength to face what you have to face, calling upon religion, calling upon anything, there's only one thing that can make you win, and that is by being honest with yourself and saying, either I've got the strength to see this through, or I'm going to go undercover and stay undercover. So one or the other, you go and face the enemy, or you face yourself, and you face yourself. When you face yourself, you find a wonderful person inside of you that knows how and what to do with freedom. Believe me, it's inside
That's
you.
That's true. Very true. Very well said. Very well said. Well, we're winding down here. We have about 30 seconds left. Is there anything else you'd like to tell us on this Memorial Day holiday?
Yeah, I just like to say, people talk about the good old days, and you know what? Today's a good old day because we're talking to each other, and we're free, and I love each other, and that's the thing. Love is missing in this world. Make sure you spread enough love and enough honesty amongst yourselves. Make sure that you other person knows, hey, I care about you. I don't really like you. I don't like the look of you. I don't like the color of you. I don't like your religion. But I care. You're a human being. So care for human beings, because we are the people running the world. The world does not run you. People run the world. So be careful on how you treat each other, because you are the future. Right now, there's nothing else running the world. We humans. So be careful and treat each other. Treat each other properly. Okay?
Very, very good. Very good advice. All right. Well, it's time for us to say goodbye, and we'll be back later with more of your favorite tunes. Don't forget to party or go home. And thank you, Doug Moody, for coming on.
Bye.
Let's see. How about Subway Surfing? Thank you all for tuning in to this part of Mystic Records Radio, Party or Go Home, and we'll see you back in a little bit. Bye.
Change, night, and Christmas, back at us again.